Hello and welcome, everyone. I am Rebecca Matthias, intuitive business and success coach, and you are listening to the Legendary Leadership Radio Show, where women in business from all over the globe gather each week to come together and get accountability and guidance to get more done in a feminine way. You truly are the pioneers that are guiding us and leading the way on a path of getting it done like a woman, where you get success, accomplishment, increased self-confidence, and project completion. It is your time to take a stand and step into your own greater levels of success and accomplishment. And I am so excited to be here with you today, especially because it is Third Tuesday and we have a guest expert on. I started this weekly show to support you, motivate you, and coach you on what actions and mindset you need in order to create the success you deserve so you can live your best life, inspiring and empowering others. These shows are a way for me to give back, and they speak most near and dear to my passion of supporting and empowering women making a difference in the world through their businesses. You can learn more about working with me at RebeccaMatthias.com. And join our Legendary Leadership Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Legendary Leadership. And our intro music is called Be the Change by award-winning singer-songwriter Bob Sima. And you can find more about Bob and his music at bobsima.com. So welcome to the call today, everyone. I am beyond excited because we have a fabulous topic and a guest expert. My friend and colleague, Megan Huber, is here today to help you uncover your brilliance, package it, leverage it, and deliver it. And I'll introduce Megan and read you her bio here, and then we'll get started and dive right in. Megan Huber helps service-based women entrepreneurs package, leverage, and deliver their coaching programs so they can attract the clients they love and take a big, bold income leap. She does this by teaching her clients how to implement simple, repeatable steps and to take step-by-step, customized daily action. How did she figure out how to do all of this? Megan holds a bachelor's degree in business management from UNC Wilmington, go Seahawks, and a master of arts in teaching from East Carolina University. After a five-year teaching career, both face-to-face and virtual, she turned her attention to entrepreneurship in the coaching industry. International travel and hanging out with her awesome sauce husband, Sean, and daughter, Brighton. She has spent the past 2 years growing her own coaching business while studying under amazing mentors like Kristen Thompson, Dan Kennedy, and Gina DeVee. Megan also serves as the certification director for Gina DeVee's Academy of Coaching Certification Program, which is totally cool because we get to hang out more often. So welcome to our radio show today, Megan. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for that introduction, Rebecca. I'm so excited to be here, especially because it's you and I getting to talk, and I love you, and we talk every day. So this is just totally cool, and I have to say, you sound like such the radio host. I love your little intro. Like, you totally sound like a radio host. I think it's so cool.
Well, thank you. I love doing it. It's so fun, and I just love this weekly time to connect with all of these people from all over the globe, and definitely my one highlight of the month is our third Tuesday guest, and I have been just really looking forward to having you on since I invited you back in, I think, November or December, so really great topic today, and just really excited to dive right in. So one thing that I would say to start with is really this word can kind of be flung around like, oh, you're unique brilliance or this about you or whatever. So help our listeners understand what exactly your brilliance is and what they need to do to begin to uncover more of it, because I believe that's a long time journey of where you just continue to uncover more of your brilliance. So what would the beginning steps be, and what is your brilliance?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We do hear the word brilliance a lot, and I've actually like considered, do I want to keep using that word or not? Because it does kind of get overused or used like really generally. So I think that every single person, especially those people who desire to teach or coach or share some type of information to some audience, every single one of us is really, really great at something. Some people want to turn that into a business, whether you're selling products, you're selling information, you're selling coaching, programs, services, what have you. So what I really love doing is helping people figure out what that is that they're so good at. Now, it was actually, believe it or not, pretty difficult for me to figure out what I was good at naturally and what my strengths were. I definitely had a general idea of what came kind of easily to me. My problem, and I see this a lot with clients too, is we're in ourselves so much that what comes so naturally to us and what is so easy to us, we can't believe that other people don't know how to do it just as well as we do.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things that I'm super good at is strategy, super, super disciplined, laser focused. I can take a big picture and create, like, step-by-step what you got to do to figure out how to get it done. Not that I'm the get-it-done expert, but those things I'm so naturally good at, and I didn't realize other people actually would benefit from me helping them do that in their own lives and businesses. So I would definitely start by recommending that you get in touch with what your strengths are and you get in touch with what you're really good at and what you always excelled at, even as a kid. What are the things that you were always getting asked to do by your teachers? If you've had a career in the past and you're an employee working for someone else, what did they always come to you and ask you to do? And when I think back to when I was a teacher in public education, I was always getting asked to lead different committees. I was being asked to develop content and then deliver it, lead meetings, organize things, be in charge of things. And I could do those items really, really fast because they came exceptionally easy to me. And I do not get overwhelmed with it. So for me and my own business to figure out what I was uniquely just good at, I did a lot of brainstorming. I did a lot of journaling. I've been coached a lot on it. And really it's fine-tuning what are your strengths, what are you really good at, what comes so massively easy to you that you're also really passionate about, and what are other people always asking you to help them do? That's a really good way to at least get started on what you could be teaching or coaching or creating information, products, or programs on in your own business.
Awesome. Those are really great starts for people. Even if you are already in a business and you already think that you know what you're great at, it's so important to even just go back and reassess. And naturally, as you evolve, different skill sets might become more apparent to you. Or, you know, as you're saying, I mean, one of the themes that came up when you were sharing what you had been asked for was like leadership, leadership, leadership. It was like all of these different types of leadership roles. And so, you know, and the other thing, too, is for people on the line to really know is that for someone to be a leader, it 99.9% of the time is going to take a team of people to support them. So it doesn't mean if you're like looking at your life and you're like, you know, gosh, I've really not shown this theme of leadership, and that the role of supporting the leader is as important as the role of the leader, for sure. So when someone gets clear on their uncovering their brilliance, and again, I believe this is a lifelong journey, would you suggest, first of all, you know, you're saying, hey, there's such a blind spot here, either having some mastermind partners or getting some private coaching or something where the person, you know, there's a person outside of you that can see what you're good at, help you uncover it, and really look at how to put that into packaging it, leveraging it, and delivering it?
Yeah, absolutely. I did not figure out what I was really good at by myself, and I certainly didn't start a coaching business and grow a coaching business by myself. I certainly tried to in the beginning, and I think most of us do think that, hey, I got this, I can totally handle this, I'll just wait until I've gotten a few clients and I can afford to go get some support. And the longer I took the route of feeling like I could figure it all out on my own, the longer I sputtered around and the longer I kind of sat in this, for me it was always, and again, I see this a lot in other people, for me it was always, I was so unclear. Like, if I could just get really clear on my message, if I could just get really clear on who my ideal client was, if I could just get really clear on how I was going to deliver this or how it's going to grow, everything will be okay. Like, I thought there was some, like, I literally believed there was some secret or mystery or formula that if I could just be taught this one thing, or if you could just tell me this one thing that's going to make me figure it out, like, I'm good to go. I can do it all, man. And I sputtered for a while. And I would highly recommend, not only because, I mean, I did this myself, I hired a coach. And currently I work with three different coaches on three different things. And they're all helping me in different areas. And for me, I was willing to do whatever it took, first of all. And I've learned about myself that that's what is, I require that. Like, I require that level of support in order to really figure out and hone in on and get really specific on what am I going to do, what am I super good at, how am I going to leverage it, and how am I going to package and deliver it. So it's just helpful for me to have someone else see it from another angle. Again, we're always in ourselves, so there are things that we're just not going to see. I mean, that's just the way it is. So I love having the coaches. I'm in two mastermind groups. Rebecca and I, you know, we're in a mastermind together with a group of women and colleagues, which is amazing. I'm in another mastermind with a coach of mine, and I have a little team that does some work for me, a virtual assistant, and some other people who do some things for me, and we have weekly team meetings. And, you know, I've had my coaching business, let's see, for like a year and two years and three weeks. So I launched January 2nd, 2012. And if I'm being completely honest and transparent, what you're saying about, like, you know, it's a process and it's a journey to figure out all this stuff and what we're super good at. It really did take me until I'd say the last 3 to 4 months to really get as clear as I've gotten. So that's almost 2 years of coaching, of being coached, of creating programs, delivering them, market research, you know, creating marketing plans and action plans and executing them to see what works and what doesn't, to figure out what words I'm using actually work. Like, it really did take me a year and a half or a little more to get as clear as I've gotten today. And I'm in a space now where I finally feel like I've about hit the nail on the head. And, of course, there's, like, so much more to grow and learn and process. And as we evolve and change and get new skills, you know, I may add some things onto what I do, of course. But it doesn't happen overnight. And I think sometimes we expect it to. And that's when we really feel that letdown of, like, oh, my gosh, like, she's doing amazing things, and I already need to be making $10,000 or $20,000 a month. And we get into this, like, comparing thing. And we have, like, such a high expectation that we've got to make this work tomorrow. And I'm here to tell you that it did not happen for me overnight. It may appear that it did, but there was a lot going on behind the scenes for quite a while.
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of times when people get into that comparing, that they don't recognize just how much is going on behind the scenes. I mean, when I first started my business about 3.5 years ago, I started it from nothing. I started it from the ground up, and I literally was, like, staying up until 3 a.m. watching YouTube videos, learning HTML code because the website guy I had paid in full and you know, the website kind of fell apart and there was, you know, no money left at that time to invest in someone fixing it and so on. And so there is a lot that goes on behind the scenes for sure. And I will also agree with you big time on this whole thinking that you can do it yourself. I mean, I definitely had a coach from the very beginning, but there were plenty of other tasks that I was, like, reluctant to delegate to other people, thinking, well, I could just do it myself or I could do it faster. And what I have come to learn also is that the more you can delegate, the faster you can delegate it, the faster you really can, like you said, hit the nail on the head and get your message really clear as long as you are investing in that level of coaching, because you're so right on when you say, look, we can't even see our own stuff. I mean, it was funny when I was working with a coach and I remember her kind of pointing out some things to me, and it would, like, all of a sudden just clicked, and I'm like, I have been coaching my entire life, you know, when I was trying to figure out what is it that I'm good at and that sort of thing. So walk us through the steps. You know, once someone has really uncovered their unique brilliance, what do they need to do to package it and to leverage it and deliver it? Walk us through those three steps if you can.
Yeah, and I'm going to start out really basic. So what I'm going to start out with is, like, not the meat, glamorous stuff. This is what you've got to do. And Rebecca, you and I have talked about this because we talk so much. Number one, for any of us to make more money, serve more clients, and be delivering these programs, whether it's e-courses or coaching, what have you, whatever it is, we have got to get real with our time management. I mean, it seriously starts there. Like, I can't tell you how many programs I invested in with really awesome six-figure coaches who had amazing resources and tools. I cannot tell you how much money I invested and on awesome stuff, but because I didn't have a very good relationship with my time in the beginning, I couldn't even use it effectively. Like, I was, like, spinning my wheels doing stuff that really wasn't growing the bottom line. It wasn't bringing in potential clients. I wasn't converting. And a lot of that was as a result of not focusing on the most important tasks of the day first thing. And I remember for a long time, I would wake up in my bed in the morning, and before my feet even hit the floor, I would be worried about, what am I going to do today? How am I going to spend my time? And that's no way to start the day, definitely not a way to start the week or even the month or the year. Like, I call it, I always use the word winging it. A lot of us are, like, winging our businesses. And part of it is because not knowing how to spend our time. And a lot of entrepreneurs are really busy. So they figured out what they're good at. They might have a package or a program or a few things. You know, they know what they want to do. They know who they want to work with. But they're like, what the heck give? Like, why is this not working? Why am I not attracting clients and why am I not making money? But they're busy. So you'll talk to them about, well, how much are you working? Oh, my gosh, well, I'm working like 60 hours a week. I'm in my office all day. And then when you start getting the detailed answers and asking those questions, you find out, yeah, they're doing a lot of stuff. And they're staying busy, but the things that they're doing are not income producing. And because they are focusing so much on the stuff that isn't helping them grow, it's not allowing them to focus and concentrate on the activities that are income producing. So step one is, like, get really real with the time management piece. And I literally started living by a calendar last year. This was tough in May. And what really helped me do that was hiring a virtual assistant who was in charge of my schedule. And because my virtual assistant was in charge of my schedule, she had to see how I was spending all of my time because she was virtual. She didn't live near me. So for her to put clients and meetings and JV partnership and all that stuff in my calendar, she needed to know everything I was doing. So it honestly did take me about 3 or 4 weeks to figure all of that out, until it kind of moved like a well-oiled machine. So, again, it doesn't happen overnight, but it took me about a month. So you got to get real with the time. Number two, this was a massive turning point for me in my business, and it is for my clients that I work with too, is planning. And it sounds like something that is so boring and something that is a waste of time. And I used to tell myself, like, why am I sitting here for a few hours planning when I could be out finding clients and making money? But then when I got real with myself, I realized, well, I'm not really making that much money to begin with, and I don't have a slew of clients, so I might as well go ahead and spend some time planning and figuring this out. And then when I did that, I stopped flinging my business, and I could actually start promoting my program, partnering with people to help me promote my program. I knew when I was launching my program, so I could get the word out sooner. I could create the content sooner. I mean, you feel so supported when you have that plan and you know when you're rolling out programs in your business. So not glamorous, but that is a place to start, is you got to get the time management piece in and you have to get the planning piece in. The other thing I would say to do next, I've kind of learned this over the last couple of years and have started running my business and teaching this that I'm going to chat about next. I really love creating what I call it a signature system. So it's basically like, what are your talents, your abilities, your skills, the knowledge that you have, your experiences and your stories? Okay, let's take a look at all that stuff. You know, we've done that. And how do you want to deliver that? Now, not every coach or service provider desires to deliver their information in the same way. Not everybody wants to do just private one-to-one coaching. Not everybody wants to teach an e-course or a virtual series. Not everybody wants to deliver their information in the format of a group coaching program. So there are a lot of different ways to deliver your content, and those are just some of the ways. Group coaching circles, mm-hmm. private coaching, VIP days, intensives, e-courses, books, e-books, DVDs, CDs, audios. There's a list of things. So what I would recommend is getting really clear with which one of those you desire to create your business model around, and it could be a combination of those. I know for me, I'm just a natural teacher. I was a teacher, and I love teaching. So part of my coaching style, there's a very large teaching element to it, and I'm very lit up by teaching. That tells me that I need to be teaching content, and I love the virtual side. I love having a global business. I taught virtually, so it comes easy to me. So I want to build a business virtually. So teaching an e-course or a virtual series, definitely in my business model. I love a group coaching program because it still has like that classroom feel to me as that mm-hmm. teacher. I get to teach content and combine some of the private coaching. I need to be doing a group coaching program. I love fast action. I need to be doing intensives. So you can see right there, I've created four different ways to deliver basically the same information to mm-hmm. different people who are at different places in their business. So the e-course is a less expensive program, the group coaching circle a step up from that, the intensive a step up from that, and then your private coaching is your highest price item. So what I've created for myself and what I teach and help my clients do is figure out what is this content that you want to teach and coach on and help people with, and what are the ways you want to deliver it based on your personality and your experience and what you desire to do and how you desire to work with people. And then let's figure out which one you're going to focus on. Now, that being said, I know there are probably some people on the line who are like, holy cow, like that's overwhelming. How am I going to do that? Just focus on one at a time. I know in my business the first year, I made myself think that I had to create and launch and deliver all four of those ideas at the same time. And especially if you're in like the first year or two of your business, it's almost impossible. Depending on whatever learning curve you've got. So what I now teach and do myself is I will only be focusing on filling one of those programs at a time. And then I move on to the next, and I move on to the next. And once you've kind of gone a few months through the year, then all of a sudden about 6 months in, you've got all four running at the same time, but you're not launching all of them at the same time.
But exactly.
Isn't that the coolest? That's like the coolest thing on the planet to me. Like, take the brilliance, which is the knowledge, the expertise, the skills, the experience, the story. Package it mm-hmm. into these different formats, these different ways of delivering it. Figure out how you want to deliver and how you want to work with people. And build your business around that. And you get to work with people who are at all different levels. So it also creates this, if you only offer one thing in your business, there's like this yes-no. So if you have mm-hmm. a consultation with someone, they're either going to say yes or they're going to say no because you don't have anywhere else to send them. So mm-hmm. it's really beautiful to be delivering in a couple of different ways because then you kind of eliminate that yes-no response. So if someone says no to private coaching, well, maybe they're interested in an intensive or group coaching. So you've got mm-hmm. that to fall back on. And I could keep going on and on with steps, but that was a lot.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's really awesome, and it gives everyone an overview.
you know, the thing, one of the things that I love so much about having the ability to work virtually is that you can literally be anywhere in the world as long as you have a telephone and a computer internet connection. So that's fantastic too. So one of the things that I've heard from women entrepreneurs at one time or another has been, and I believe I went through this in the very beginning, was before you have this level of confidence, a lot of times you can have this, who do you think you are, or who do I think I am to be coaching or doing this or being this expert or being this brilliant? And, you know, they hide behind thinking they need more certifications or more credentials, or maybe they want to go back to school, or maybe they want to get a yoga certification or something along those lines. How do you, when you uncover your brilliance, then become more confident about what it is you've uncovered and not then go into this, what I call not being visible mode and trying to stay small and hiding behind thinking that you need more credentials and training when actually you're ready to take a leap and just go for it?
I think you have to do what you just said, those last couple of words. As you've been talking, I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're not going to like this answer because it's too simple. And Rebecca, I went through the same thing. And, you know, a lot of people use, like, the word, I feel like a fraud. Like, I feel like I'm such a fraud. Like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to, like, ask people to pay me all this money for this thing that's so incredibly easy to me. And one thing I've learned is that you charge the most for what comes most easy to you. Because what comes most easy to you, that does not mean that it's easy for the rest of the planet. And if it's, like, so massively easy for you, and it's so easy for you, you don't even realize it, you're probably in, like, the top 5% of all people where that talent or skill or whatever comes that easily to you. That means, like, for 95% of the rest of the population, it doesn't come easy to them, right? So I would say that. Second, this is a little phrase. I need to find out if I made this up or not, but I always tell my clients, and I bet I say it almost every session, you cannot steer the car unless it's in motion. So the best way to get through that fear of feeling like the fraud or feeling like I'm not good enough or feeling like I need more certifications is to simply get into action. Because I've talked about myself in the past, and sometimes I flub up and I feel this now, and certainly in clients that I work with who are more in the beginning stages of their business, the ones that I hear saying that the most, and again, when I think back to myself, I hear it being said the most from the people who are getting into less action. So they're the ones, and I did it myself. When I just sat behind my computer in my home office and thought that I was going to grow a business that way, like from the get-go, and I didn't really know what I was doing, it made me feel like I was a fraud and I didn't know enough. But as soon as I went and did a speaking engagement and, like, I felt that adrenaline and it lit me up because I love to speak, and I got praised at the end, and people were, like, signing up for discovery sessions and buying my programs, I was like, wait a minute. This just taught me something here. So I think we let ourselves, when we're not getting into action, there's way too much room for all the negative Nellies and self-sabotage. Like, we're basically just, like, festering it. I mean, it's almost like we're sitting in a cesspool of negativity if we're not getting into action. But as soon as you get into action, even when it's scary, you will shock yourself and realize, oh, my gosh, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Why did I ever think that I wasn't cut out for this? And you learn that about yourself the more action that you get into.
Right, exactly. Yeah, one of the examples I always tell people is that, you know, everything that feels scary to you, you know, think back to when you first learned how to do anything. You know, it's sort of like going off the high dive for the first time, and you just have to go for it and do it anyway. And then what was initially a bit scary or something that was unfamiliar territory then becomes natural to you. It's like not a big deal. You get to go off the high dive and do a flip or something like that versus just trembling to get to the edge of the high dive. So we're at the half an hour, at the bottom of the hour here, and typically what we do is we open up
the radio show for question and answer, and we do have a question that has come in on the webcast already. So for those of you who are on the webcast, go ahead and type your questions right into the webcast there. And for those of you on the phone, you would press *2 to raise your hand and talk to Megan live and get your questions answered. And Megan, one quick question here while we wait for people to get in the queue is, how important do you think that it is, and how much, if you really are kind of running more of a virtual business, how important is it for these folks to get out of their home office and be out at networking events or be booking speaking engagements and that sort of thing? Because I have definitely seen where a lot of people can get caught up just going to networking events and nothing really monetary comes from that. So in the beginning, or even a seasoned entrepreneur, how often per week or even per month would you suggest that they get out and get out from behind the computer, so to speak?
I think it depends on where you're at in your business. And I know that experts all have, like, different opinions on this. I'm just going to tell you mine. And what I have seen from clients and myself, I think that if you are brand new, if you are a brand new business owner, there's like this misconception out there that, and I've seen this more recently, a lot of brand new business owners who are, they're not in growing mode yet. You're in startup mode. So there's a difference between starting a business and growing a business. So if you're just starting your business and it's the first business you've ever started, I personally do not recommend just putting up a website, sitting in your home office behind the computer, and believing that people are going to stumble upon your website and sign up to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Or doing that and maybe adding a little bit of social media. Like, people are not going to come, like, knocking down your door for that. You know, that it's just not, it's not going to happen. And I think there's a misconception because a lot of us, you know, Rebecca and me included, we are predominantly 100% location independent. We are predominantly a virtual business. I didn't start out this way. The whole first year of my business, I grew my business 100% through speaking locally. And I would drive up to 2.5 hours as long as I had three people in a room. And I live in North Carolina, so I would drive. I drove as far. I live in the center of North Carolina. I drove all the way to Wilmington, which is on the beach. That's a 2.5 hour drive for me. I don't think I ever really went west, but I would speak anywhere from 3 times a month to 10 times a month at local networking groups. And like I said, I would drive. And I built my whole, and I got all of my clients that way. So I believe, personally, that if you are just starting your business, it is very helpful to get out. And if speaking is your thing, to go speak locally. The other thing is when you sit in your house all day, even those of us that are like the seasoned coaches and we're predominantly virtual, you just have to get out of the house and around people because it infuses you with energy that you don't get just sitting in your house by yourself.
Exactly.
Personally, I'm not a big fan of networking events. Part of it is because of where I live and my target audience. It's not really here. I actually live, for me to go to a networking event, I'd have to drive like 30 minutes. I live in a very rural county. So it's just a bit of a stretch for me, and I just don't really like networking events anymore. But if you're starting out, I would suggest going to them, getting some speaking engagements booked. If you are like massively against that, I'll tell you how I grow my business now, and I know Rebecca does this too. All of my networking now is networking with other people like Rebecca. So that's how I do my we call it a JV partnership. So I will see, like, other cool people doing, like, really awesome stuff online. They're showing up. They're really visible. And I'm like, she looks so cool. Like, I feel like I have a lot in common with her or him. I want to have a chat with them and find out what they're doing in their business, what their goals are, who they're serving, and see if there's a way we can help each other grow, promote each other, or maybe even like offer something together. And that's pretty much what I'm doing now to network. So if you are like bound and determined to just grow virtually, you're still going to have to network. It's just in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cool. Yeah, that's fabulous advice. So we're going to go ahead and open the lines up. We've got a bunch of people in the queue at this point. And just before I go ahead and open it up to the first person who's asked a question, I want to let everyone know that Megan has an upcoming telesummit on February 10th. And you can go over to opt in for that. It's completely free. And that website URL is Leap and Launch Summit, L-E-A-P and L-A-U-N-C-H Summit, SUMMIT.com. And that way you can get over there and get even more juicy information, because I know that telesummit is going to be phenomenal. So make sure you guys get over there. If you're on the webcast, that link is right there online. So for those of you who are on the webcast, you can click the button to the left there and get right on. And our first question coming in is from a live caller, Kelly Anders in Ocean City, Maryland. And hey, Kelly, welcome to the call.
I'm on mute. Sorry about that.
Hello. I've got you unmuted. There we go.
Okay. Hi. Thanks for this great call, Megan. This is really meaty information and very poignant timing.
You're welcome.
Just checking out Gary Vaynerchuk's Jab, 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 Right Hook, and this whole idea of give, 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 ask for the sale. Can you speak a little bit more about doing and what your position is on speaking for free or even giving away ebooks for free or doing things to build a list and get a following before asking to be paid to speak? Like, at what point is it okay to make that transition from, you know, giving of yourself and your time to establish a following and some credibility with folks and then you know, before asking people to pay you to speak? Or do you always speak for free in hopes that you're getting, you know, a following for your program?
This is such an amazing question. I'm so glad you asked it. I could talk about this for hours, so I'll try to keep it as short as I can. And way to go on reading that book. I have not actually read that book, but I'm familiar with him, and I'm familiar with the book, and I need to buy it. But for anybody else listening, the book that she said, I think it's Jab, 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 Right Hook, amazing book.
Yes.
Go pick it up. So I'm super honest and transparent when I share my story. So I will tell you all about the whole speaking thing. I have been specifically trained on how to grow my business through speaking. So I knew the day I started my business. I was a former teacher who had to speak every single day in front of, I mean, it was teenagers, but still I had to talk. And I led a whole lot of meetings and was in charge of a lot of stuff. So I had to do a lot of speaking in front of county leaders in my district and other, like, the faculty and parents. And I knew that I had that strength. And I also knew that Brian Tracy says, if you're the expert, if you're the person standing in front of the room and you're leading the room and you're the one speaking, people automatically assume you are more credible and smarter than the other people not standing in front of the room. And I knew that. So I knew I was good at it. I knew what people thought about the person standing in the front of the room. And I also knew that that was the number one way to grow your business, was through speaking. It's the fastest because it's one to many. And when you speak, you know, some people, their business model is just to be a paid speaker. And I'm not sensing that that's what you're asking me, but just to put that out there, some people, like, their whole business model is, I want to make six figures or $1 million, like, growing my business just through speaking and paid speaking engagements. That wasn't my thing. So I knew all this about speaking, and the cool thing about speaking, if it's in your business model and your marketing plan, you can do it face-to-face, and you can do it virtually. Because I taught face-to-face, and I was already I had been a virtual teacher in a public school for, like, 4 years, I was really comfortable with the whole virtual speaking thing. I knew how that sort of, like, online system worked. So I did know all that stuff about myself up front. Now, just because I did it doesn't mean it's for everybody. Like, you got to know that's your thing. I was trained in growing my business through speaking specifically by a coach that I worked with for quite a while. And now it's an area that I can help people in too. And I did all of my speaking for free. So I said earlier I would speak anywhere from 3 to 10 times a month to a room that had at least 3 people in it.
You got to know that you can convert the room. That's the other thing. Part of sales is knowing that whatever marketing technique you're using, that you know how to convert using that technique. I knew that I'd never had a business before, so I'd never had to do sales. But because I knew what I knew about myself in speaking, I knew I could figure out how to convert very well in that way. So if you're going to use speaking for free, you need to know that you can convert well, or at least practice it enough so that you get really good converting. I always spoke for free because if an organization was only going to pay me, I'm just using numbers for example, $250 or $500 or $750 or even $1,000 to come speak, and they were not going to let me sell anything at the end or even offer discovery sessions, I wasn't a fan of that, because if you could get a room of 10, 15, 20, 30 people, if I could get in front of a room of that size and sell either a virtual series at $297, how many would I have to sell and make more than $1,000 what that company would have paid me? I'd have to sell at least, three would almost get me there, but if I sold four, it would certainly get me over how much they would have paid me. Or if a company was going to pay me $1,500, but my private coaching program was $2,500, and I only got one discovery session out of it and converted that person, I just made $2,500 versus the $1,500 they were going to pay me. So I think if you're good at selling that way and it's your thing, it makes sense to speak for free as a way to build your list. So you're definitely going to be collecting names. You definitely want to make sure you're in front of an audience with an organization that allows you to have some sort of call to action, at least like offer discovery sessions, and you can even sell at the end of your talk. If you're going to get, I also recommend if you're speaking, it needs to be at least 60 minutes. I did a lot of 10 and 15 minute speaking at kind of like rinky-dink networking groups, and that's tough because it's hard to sell $500 programs in 15 minutes. So I recommend if you're going to speak for free, you need a good chunk of time, 45 to 60 minutes. You got to know what you're leading them to. You got to know what your talk is. You got to know you can convert. And if you've got 60 minutes on the floor, you can sell people into something that's about $300 to $1,000 on the spot, or offer discovery sessions and get them into a program. So, and then virtually, I mean, that's a whole other ball game. I do a lot of virtual talks. I get other people in my industry to help me promote it. It's free, so I funnel people into that free talk. I'm someone who gives away a lot of high value. People know me as that. I'm super honest, transparent, and kind of unplugged and raw when I speak, and I give away a lot of good information. So I draw attention to my calls for that reason, and I love it, and I know I can sell people on it. I know I can convert. So it makes sense for me to do that for free. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Thank you. And that is the direction that I was looking to go, not to become a paid speaker, but more to use that as a platform to build my list and build my business.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, for me, like, if I work with someone and speak, and again, like, for you, speaking sounds like your thing, so you can certainly leverage that. It isn't for everybody. I would totally use that as one of your top three ways of marketing your business. And if you like the virtual thing, depending on where you are in your business, you might want to do both face-to-face and virtual, or if you want to do totally online, definitely leverage the virtual side with the speaking.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. I will mute your line for your privacy. And if you are on the phone line and you have a question, you can raise your hand by pressing *2, and we're going to head on over to the webcast because I know we've got a bunch of questions over here. So Evelina from New Jersey is saying, Megan, can you share some tips on time management for solopreneurs?
Haha. I just wrote a blog, not a blog, it's in my newsletter. So if you're not on my list and you can do my newsletter today, my whole featured article was about time management. Yes. Totally. So a couple of tips here. Let's see. Where shall I start? I'm not the hugest fan of a to-do list. I'm a big fan of living by a calendar. So I would say, like, make sure you've got some way to calendar, whether it's on your phone or paper calendar or Google. I use Gmail, so I just use a Google calendar that syncs with my iPhone. So just know that whatever task that needs to be completed, it's got to end up on your calendar. So get a way to calendar your stuff, like all your tasks. Make sure you have that in place. Everything's going to end up there. That's number one. Another tip would be use the number six. Remember the number six. So you're looking at your day the night before. So what's today? Tuesday? So tonight, think about, you have to know what your goals are. So obviously you need to know what your goals are first and what you're working toward. So tonight, sit down and make a list of the six most important tasks that you need to complete tomorrow. They're going to help you reach your goal. What are those six things? Is it hold discovery sessions? Is it make partnership calls? Is it write your newsletter? Is it write a promo package? There's so many things. Is it marketing? Is it responding to or following up with potential clients? So figure out what are the most important tasks for you to complete. Pick six of them. Prioritize them in order of importance and start with the most important one in the morning. So, and I don't want to overwhelm anybody with the time stuff. So make a list of six most important things the night before, the six items, activities that are going to help you reach your goal faster. Prioritize them in order of importance and put the most important thing on your calendar in the morning. And do not waver away from that time slot until you've completed it. So another thing you could do before you actually move those six items onto your calendar is jot down on paper how many hours or how much time it's going to take you to complete each one of those six. Is it going to take you a half an hour, 45 minutes? And those six are typically going to add up to about 6 to 6.5 hours. Move it all onto your calendar, leaving time and space for checking email, interruptions, and miscellaneous stuff that pops up. So that's probably going to give you about a 7 or 8 hour day right there. And do not go to the interruptions or the email or the whatever. Even if your phone rings, let it go to voicemail. Only focus on the item that you have for that time slot until it's 100% done before you move on to the next thing. So you have to first be clear on your goals and the actual steps that are going to help you reach your goal before you can even put it in your calendar. What happens is a lot of entrepreneurs are like spell checking their newsletter or writing too much copy or blogging all the time or writing content for their website and changing this and changing that, and they are so busy all day long, but because they're so busy on things that aren't bringing in business, they can't even focus or concentrate on the activities that are going to bring them business. Right? So, yeah, that's probably enough for the 10
awesome.
Minutes.
Awesome. Yeah, I love the stick to six and getting it on your calendar. That's super awesome. So Anna in Portland. Hi, Anna. She says, hello, Rebecca and Megan. I have felt clear in moments that I want to shift my work into packages. I want to be able to work with committed clients over a longer period of time for better results for the client and better support and structure for me. I desire to address not only the physical stagnation, but the emotional and spiritual stagnation as well. I've had over 15 years of experience with this, thanks to, and there is no sarcasm in my thanks, a severe back injury that occurred when I was 18 and re-injured at 28. I've been on a tremendous journey to heal my body and all the other systems that are affected when intense physical pain is a daily reality. In a sense, I feel very confident in my own gifts, wisdom, and power as a healer, coach, teacher, and I keep getting stuck in this familiar place and doubting if the programs are really, quote-unquote, it. Somehow, I think I'm beginning to sense and see the flaw in the place I'm trying to create from. There's still a struggle in the creation, a pressure, a force, because I'm so desperate for money. My checking account was overdrawn over the weekend. How do I relax my grip when the need for money and the pressure of my current situation feels so real, so looming? And, yes, your question makes sense to me. Do you understand the question, Megan?
That was really long to hear audibly because I'm not an audio learner.
Sure.
I really like to read things. So it sounds like there's a couple of things going on here. I mean, I'll address, like, the whole package thing first about – So let me address that first, or what came to me. Hopefully I'm answering part of the question. So I think part of what happens with us is we go create a program first, and then we want to go find the people to sell it to.
Exactly.
And that's the backwards way. It's hard to, like, wrap your mind around that, but you got to find out what people want first. So you've got to know who you're really passionate about serving. And it sounds like you do know. I can't remember her name. But it sounds like you're really passionate about what you want to do and who you want to help. So I think one thing we've got to be careful about and kind of not put the cart before the horse is be really, really clear on, again, the ideal client. I keep going back to that. But it's knowing, like, what words is your ideal client using to describe the pain that they're in? And, like, what I always say, like, what language is your client speaking? Like, what words are they using? What words are they using? For example, for a while, I was using the words systems, structures, and processes when I would talk about what I do. And I had this messaging guru in a mastermind, and I said, Megan, like, you're not even speaking English. And I'm like, what do you mean? I get that. Like, I totally, my brain gets that. He goes, yeah, but not everybody else's brain gets that. Like, you have to speak English to people. That's when I came up with simple, repeatable systems. That is so much more clear to people. People want simple. They want repeatable. They don't want processes, structures, and systems. Well, they do, but they're not using those words, right? So you've got to know what's the language that your ideal client is using and what are they saying that they want. Like, think this. Think pain island and pleasure island. What are they saying about their lives when they're on pain island, and what are they saying about what life is going to be like when they're on pleasure island? And you're the vehicle that holds the solution. They're going to jump on your boat, and you're going to teach them all this stuff, and it's exactly what they need and what they want, and you're going to sail them over to Pleasure Island and dump them off. So you have to have that – you've got to have that community first before you just go sell stuff. So I would recommend doing some market research. Obviously, there's a lot of different ways to do that, just like talking to people and asking questions. Another one is hopping onto Amazon.com and looking up books that are on the same topic that you teach, and look at the reviews. Because here's what people say in a review. This is where my life was before I read this book. And they list it out. They list out their problems, and they use their own words. Then they say, after I read this book, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da happened, and my life is this and this and this. And they are using the words that they use to describe where they want to be. So if you look up books that are really similar to the same content you're teaching, the people reading those books are probably your ideal clients. So the people you're going to work with are similar, and your ideal clients are going to have similar problems, describe them in a similar way, probably use the same words, and describe their pleasure and what came out of it, their outcomes in the same way. So it's finding the people and finding what needs to be solved and finding that community of followers that are kind of like rallying around you and listening and having them before you then go sell. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I'll just add on to that a little bit. You know, ask your current clients, the people that you're working with. And the one thing I would suggest to remember for everyone on the show here is, even though you go and you do this research, and I love what you said, Megan, about the Amazon feedback on books, because that's brilliant. I've never heard that before, so thank you for sharing that, is to remember that you are the expert in your industry. So it's not that you're going and getting this research and then allowing it to dictate how you run your business or what you're going to offer. You've got to sit with it, and you've got to see if it resonates with you, and trust that you, as the expert, know how to take that research and utilize it to your benefit to then form the package that you want to create. It's not that you're going and you're asking your clients, you know, hey, what would you really like to have, you know, besides this and this and this, and I'm going to start offering packages, and then you let them pretty much dictate what that looks like for you. That's not the approach that you want to take. You want to stay in your power as the expert in your industry. And you want to use their information almost like ingredients, and then you get to decide how much, you know, how much of a cup of flour do you want to put into the cake, and how many eggs do you want to put into it. And so ultimately it becomes your gourmet unique recipe, so to speak. So that would be what I would add on to there, Anna. And then as far as this whole, you know, relaxing your grip when your need for money and the pressure of your current situation feels so real,
is remember that fear is false evidence appearing real. And I get it. I mean, I have had plenty of times in my history where the money in the banking account did not match the amount of money that needed to come out for that week, and you totally go into this place of restrictedness, and it's very difficult to get out sometimes. So whether you're wanting to create more money because you're like literally, you know, it's kind of like a life and death feeling situation, or whether you're ready to just make more money in your business, you have to be doing mantras daily. You have to be speaking positivity daily. So you're really reprogramming your subconscious mind that has for many, many years been conditioned to live in this way where there's not enough, whether it's not enough time or not enough money. You have to really reprogram your mind, and everything is between the temples, and reprogram your mind to know that there is more than enough time for you to get everything you need to get done. There is more than enough money out there, and that you need to stay out of what we call the cursed house and stay open to inspiration and take inspired action, knowing that your thoughts plus your words plus your action steps equal your reality. And in any given moment, the universe is always conspiring on your behalf and will bring to you the things that you desire within your heart as long as you stay open to receiving them. So the flip side of creating more money is to be aware of, are you able to even receive something as simple as a compliment? Because if you can't up-level your ability to receive and take in without feeling like you have to give back, another example of this would be if someone gets you a gift, do you then feel like, oh, crap, you know, I don't have a gift for them, and then you feel guilty and, you know, you feel embarrassed, like you need to run out and buy them a gift. So really be working that muscle of exercising your receiving muscle so that you can receive a gift graciously and gratefully without having a gift for someone else, and you can receive a compliment graciously and gratefully without deflecting it by saying, you know, someone says, oh, your shirt is beautiful, and you say, oh, I got this on sale at Walmart or, you know, whatever. years ago, that was something that I would always do. I wasn't able to take the compliments in, and I would always demean the compliment by saying, oh, yeah, you know, this, I got a great deal on this shirt, and it was, you know, 50% off or something like that, not just saying thank you. So there's two flip sides of that to start, but I would say definitely reading wealth consciousness material daily, having a mantra daily about, you know, I am open to all forms of abundance, or one of the ones from the Game of Life and How to Play It book that I love is God is my unfailing supply, and large sums of money come to me quickly under grace in perfect ways. And I always add now onto the end of my affirmations. So we've got a couple of minutes left here, and real quick, we'll go to the last question that I'm seeing here. I haven't hit refresh, so I apologize if we don't get to all the questions today, everyone. But Michelle in Illinois is saying she works for a large investment firm as a financial advisor and can't necessarily charge for the coaching and teaching element, but she wants to apply some of those for free things so she can attract new clients or more clients who are the type of people that she wants to work with. How does she find an outlet for these types of opportunities? So in other words, Michelle, what it sounds like to me is in the coaching industry, we call these free sessions discovery sessions. So you would do some kind of a complimentary, you know, makeover your financial life, something along those lines, discovery session or free session, and then potentially have them become a client as a financial advisor. So, Megan, what would you say for where would she be able to find these types of clients to then convert them into financial advisor clients?
Is she asking about speaking engagements?
I think it's more, I mean, certainly she could do some speaking engagements for sure. I mean, there's, you know, if you go do some kind of a presentation on becoming financially fit or something, or having a healthy financial picture and that sort of thing. So that would be one option.
I would say, like, you got to find, I'm sure she knows her ideal client. So knowing mm-hmm. who your ideal client is and where they're hanging out and what other services they're using. And mm-hmm. I don't know if she may be doing, like, some networking or in some networking groups. And if you are, finding, like, some really good strategic partners in there, mm-hmm. someone who's offering another service that's complementary to yours, someone who's already really successful, meaning that not only are they just making a lot of money, but they have like a large community and they probably have a list and they're communicating with their list, that might be a good strategic partner for you to either be like a guest blogger or do a talk to that person's list. And if they've got people all over the country, you could do a virtual talk because it's
awesome.
A financial advisor comes and gives a talk to the, I'm just making this up, to the insurance agent or the doctor's client. That just adds value to their business because they're bringing in an expert on another topic that their people need. That would be a perfect way to align with some strategic partners. That's what I would recommend.
Awesome. Super awesome. Well, Megan, I cannot thank you enough for being here today. This was definitely a jam-packed, juicy, juicy call. So thank you so much for being here today, and we really appreciate your unique brilliance.
Thanks for having me, Rebecca. Thanks, everybody, for listening and asking, like, super awesome questions. It was such a fun hour to be with all of you.
Awesome. And don't forget, everyone, to visit Megan's opt-in page for her upcoming telesummit starting on February 10th with a bunch of fabulous experts. And, again, that URL is leapandlaunchsummit.com. And also the button is right there on the webcast as well. So thanks, everybody, for joining us today, and have a fabulous rest of the day.